All teams covered. No talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. We'll discuss Dusty in just a bit. Let's get to some callers, though. 713-780-ESPN. Go to the HRMP listener line for Chase. Chase, you're in the hive of the Killer Bees. What's up, Chase?
Hey, what's up, man?
What's up?
Man, I was just sitting thinking, you know, that game went about as good as it could have went for Seattle. But if game two, Castillo has a big choke, we'll say he goes 2 to 3 innings. I see full panic mode for Seattle, only in game two, you know? Is this a talking point? Something I was thinking about? Because that's about as good of a game that Seattle can have.
Appreciate the call, Chase. Look, you're right. I think that the Seattle Mariners right now are a bit deflated. Does a day off today help? Does it hurt? I think it maybe depends on the team. Blankers and I just took a look at how it could hurt, how it could help. So It depends on what side of it you think that you're on. If the Astros touch up Luis Castillo and the Astros head to Seattle 2-0, I'm pretty confident that the Astros are going to find a way to win one game in Seattle with Lance McCullers on the mound in Game 3. And the more I'm listening to Dusty Baker, I think it's going to be Justin Verlander in Game 4.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think that might be a little bit why he went to Javier yesterday, and he believes that, you know, because of the quirky schedule that the league has put out with the days off, that he believes he's going to get his guy. And you know, the thing is I had mentioned over and over again about his worst start of the year in the regular season had come at Seattle, where he gave up at least 4 home runs, and he just couldn't get guys out, and he had just one of those. We always say even the best pitchers have one of those days. Coming off that one of those days, he got on a roll, just like Brendan had just started playing the new theme music for Framber Valdez, and he was about to go on a consecutive streak of outstanding starts because of the fact that that's the way we do things around here. He did it himself. He righted himself after that Seattle game and got on a roll, and I think that no one wants to get on the mound more than Justin Verlander. He wants to go, look, we had rust, and we had rest, and we tried to do what we could do, and I was terrible, but that's not who I am, and I want the ball again. How do you say no to that?
Dusty was talking over at Minute Maid today. They had a little press conference workout a little bit earlier. I was listening to it on the way in. It was around 11 o'clock. And Dusty mentioned that if he could throw Justin Verlander tomorrow, he would throw Justin Verlander tomorrow. That he wants to get Justin Verlander back on the mound as quickly as possible.
Makes sense to me.
With a day off today, with a day off on Friday, it would be normal rest for a starting pitcher to go in game four. Now, if...
Now you're wondering about game five.
If you get to a game five, you need to have a plan in place.
Yep.
He was asked if he would be willing to use Framber Valdez on short rest. He did not say no. So the more I hear Dusty Baker speak, the usage of Christian Javier yesterday, I think that the plan for the Astros is Lance McCullers game 3. If necessary, game 4-5. It's Verlander in a game 4. It's Framber Valdez and like Johnny Holstaff in a game 5.
Can I take you back to last year against the White Sox to show you that's exactly how Dusty thinks?
Yeah.
Because the way that baseball minds were thinking about that was you save Lance until you absolutely need him. And Dusty went the exact opposite way.
The extra day.
Yeah, and Dusty went the opposite way and says, no, you go get it right now, and you throw Lance. You don't wait and save him, and that's probably what we're talking about right now. He'd rather use all the bullets, you know, his best bullet or the silver bullet in the case of Scott Service. Use your silver bullet in game 4, and then you still have the best pitching staff in baseball in game 5 if you need it, but you're going to go for the jugular. I mean, look, this is why Seattle is sitting here today with an L instead of a W, because they got to be feeling pretty good about themselves, thought the game was already over. Left the door open a little bit, and all it needed to be was a jar for just that one quick moment, and boom, before you know it, you're sitting on L City going, man, what the hell just happened to me?
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Back out to the HRP listener line. Hector, you're in the hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Hector?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Great. What's
up? I just wanted to comment on, Jordan. He was a hero last night in him and many more with the home run. But what about the out when he got at the home plate? He was rallying, maybe. How important that out was. You know, that was that probably was another deeping moment, another changing moment in the game. Because if Mariners scored that run, who knows what could have happened. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah,
man, that was impressive.
No, you're absolutely right. It's one of the one of the plays in that game yesterday. One of many plays that went under the radar because you had such a cinematic ending to the game.
It was a cluster bleep for much of it. You were looking at negativity, so it was hard to find any. You know, you were grasping at straws trying to find anything to feel good about.
There's also, I mean, Jordan's been known to do that. Jordan's got a cannon for an arm. Whenever Jordan fielded the ball, France wasn't even at third base yet. I like, if Jordan puts that ball where it's catchable, like Maldonado had time to go up the line, down the line, whatever, to come back to the plate and tag out Ty France. So whenever I saw the third base coach, I think it's Manny Acta.
It is.
Whenever I saw him waving France around and Jordan already had the ball in his glove, I was like, that's a bad wave. That's a bad send. Now with two outs, whatever, I get it. But I had a pretty good feeling Jordan was going to throw him out when France was still in the screen when Jordan fielded it.
And look, the question becomes, because you can sit there and look at the many different ways, and we've even said, just because we worry so much about a guy that's as dominant offensively, and he showed every bit of it yesterday with, what, five RBIs, what, three extra base hits, or at least the one was a single, but it was a rocket that if it gets up at all, instead of putting a dent in the right field fence, it's 10, 15 rows deep. The guy is on it right now. And so I question whether Jordan sees another pitch the rest of this series. I think Scott Servais learned his lesson, and I think that he saw how dominant Jordan is, and he's like, this dude can change a game all by himself. I don't know that I'm going to give him another pitch the rest of the series. But when you look at it from a defensive perspective, as much as we were worried about his health, shows why you can have him out in left field and capitalize too, because you're right. He has a gun out there in the outfield.
I'm fine with him in the outfield in the playoffs. Now, over a course of 162 games.
Did you not take a deep breath, though, and go, when he hit the wall on the running catch, when he hit the sidewall?
Yeah. I don't know if a lot of left fielders get to that ball. I thought that was a really good play up there, almost on par with the throw at the plate. Really good catch.
I think whether they can get to it or not, I think a lot of guys pull the chute because they're worried about themselves hitting the wall.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Let's go back out to the HRP listener line. Mac, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Mac?
Hey, guys. Good day.
What's up?
Salutations. Man, I love that. That's what we live for, man. I love the way the Astros just snatched a soul out of the Mariners' body, you know? Leave them soulless and lost and winless.
Okay. Mac, I feel the emotion.
Mac's aggressive.
Yeah,
I like it. I like it on a Wednesday at 1:10. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. 9451 says, the loss in Game 4 to Kansas City in 2015 is an example of how this can affect a young team. Seattle, a young team. I think it's a pretty good parallel.
It is.
Seattle now versus the Astros in 15. Remember, the Astros were up in that series 2-1. They led late. There was kind of a ground ball up the middle. It looked like it was going to be a double play ball that Sip kind of touched and deflected and ricocheted in a weird way that Correa couldn't get the inning-ending double play. Kansas City would rally. They would win. They easily won in Game 5 and then went on to the World Series. I think it's a really good comparison.
It is. It really is. And again, it's the fragile psyche, and I was talking about it from individual players too, but when you talk about it from a team perspective, you get young teams that get rolling. And I was talking about it in Toronto before the playoffs started. When you get a young team that doesn't know any better, they're cocky, they're arrogant, they're good, and they start getting momentum and people start jumping on the bandwagon, the fans start getting fired up, and they start feeling like there's not a team on earth that can beat them, that's a scary, scary team to play, especially in a short series. So coming off the momentum of burying a team like that with your own group of young players and then coming in and then basically punching the lion on top of the mountain in the mouth from the first pitch, from the first inning, and then just continuing to punch and push that animal down the mountain going, we are here, we're not going anywhere, and we're going to take you too. Boy, to snatch, to snatch their soul in that game, now you got to capitalize and win tomorrow and really send the message. But there's no doubt that as quickly as a young team can get on top of that mountain, they can come tumbling all the way down in a hurry when they take a punch in the mouth back like the haymaker they took yesterday.
713-780-ESPN. Let's get to the dusty side of it. What did you think of his managing yesterday? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, let's tell you about Doc O and his staff at Apollo Men's Health. Look, we're getting at different points in our lives where we don't have the energy that we once had when we were our younger, better selves. Most people just feel like, you know what, that's it. It's gone. I can't get it back. Oh, well, I just got to keep doing the best that I can. It's not true. You can get the energy back in your life, and from the boardroom to the weight room to the bedroom, if you have problems, they have answers, they have solutions. They're going to get you back to feeling 100% and more like you used to be in your heyday. It's fantastic because they care about their patients. Go to ApolloMH.com right now. Find out all the different services they offer and the ones that could possibly be of service to you. And then sign up for your first appointment. When you do, you'll find out most major insurance is accepted. There's discounts for military personnel and first responders. But the main thing is, they're going to take care of you if you tell them where you want to go. Go in with an open mind. Be honest. Answer their questions. Tell them what your goals are, what you're experiencing, what the problems have been. They're going to put you on a program that works. They're going to get you results. You're not trying to win a gold medal. You're just trying to win the day, and they can put you on a program to get you where you're going. That means everything from full body composition analysis when you get on a workout program to all the different ways they offer hormone therapy and B12 shots for more energy on a day-to-day basis. Mention my name, Joel Blank, free B12 shot or a free body comp on your first visit. Go to the pros, the experts, the people that know how to get you where you want to go. They're the good people at Apollo Men's Health.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Astros win it yesterday, 8-7, the Yordong in the ninth, three-run homer, first time in Major League Baseball history in the postseason where a player has hit a walk-off home run with two outs and a team down by more than one run. Yordan Alvarez, historic, something that's never been done in the playoffs. Something else that's historic is Dusty Baker. Mm-hmm. How do you feel Dusty Baker managed that game yesterday for the Houston Astros?
I mean, I give him a lot of credit. I mean, look, as much as we have been, and look, rightfully so, 512 area code, we have had our issues throughout the season with the style and the way that Dusty manages versus traditional baseball and current baseball tactics. That doesn't mean that anybody's right or wrong. We are free to have our opinion. I give him flowers yesterday because I think he pushed all the right buttons. He did everything he needed to do. What, you know, from the ninth inning all the way back to the way he used his pitching staff to the fact that you knew that it was going to be kind of a slippery slope of when to pull JV. And though some people may say he left him in just a little too long, he knew when it was enough was enough. Mm-hmm. They showed the moment when he went over, and Justin was good with it. And the fact that the bullpen, everybody did their job. The buttons he pushed yesterday, everybody that he picked to do a job did their job, and it worked out.
I thought Dusty managed his tail off. I'm giving him huge flowers today. I thought he did a really good job. I have one little nitpick that we'll discuss in just a second, but body of work, I think Dusty was great. Jeremy Pena in the two hole, like, I don't love a dude that doesn't have his, you know, that's not one of your best hitters hitting in the two spot. But Jeremy Pena has been really good in that spot, and I think being in that spot elevates him. He had a really good at-bat in the ninth when you needed it. So I think you have to give that a win for Dusty Baker. Also, look, Chaz McCormick got a hit in that game yesterday. He brought in Vasquez in a good spot. Vasquez got a hit. He used Aledmys Diaz to pinch it for Maldonado. Vasquez to pinch it for McCormick, knowing that he wanted to use Vasquez in case he got deep into the order, wouldn't have to use Dubon. And then pinch hitting Hensley.
Hensley was big.
Like, that was... like, to me, not a Dusty Baker move. And I tweeted it out because I try to tweet things out that I like, I don't like before, like hindsight's 2020 type of stuff. Between innings, I said pinch hit Dubon with Hensley. Dusty Baker is not the type of manager that's going to pinch hit for a kid that he likes in Mauricio Dubon. Loves Mauricio Dubon. He's usually, like, it doesn't seem to me like he's the type of guy that's going to pinch hit a rookie who's never had a postseason at bat in his entire life. With the game on the line, a critical moment for a guy that he likes in Mauricio Dubon, and he did it. And it paid off because Hensley got on base. He was, you know, and then pinch ran Myers, whatever. But then you were able to get the three-run home run. You can't do that without the Hensley at bat. Like, he got criticized for not pulling Verlander earlier. I thought he pulled Verlander at an okay spot. Because after the three spot in the second inning, he calmed down in the third. He got the first two guys out in the fourth.
He looked like he was going to settle in.
Yeah, so I really can't criticize him for when he pulled Verlander out. A lot of people are saying, well, you should put him in the second. It's Justin Verlander. You need innings in a game one.
And look, he's also going to push back because he's Justin Verlander. And that's something that you got to take into consideration, too. I think he pushed all the right buttons. I think you touched on the one that will continually be something that's going to be looked at unless Pena capitalizes on the hit in the ninth and continues to hit better. That two-hole is something that's going to be hyper microscopically analyzed by national media now that it's the playoffs. It's something we've talked about all season long.
Uh-huh.
The fact that the kid was going into his first ever playoff game, coming off his rookie season, his first ever major league experience, and you throw him right there into that spot, and you know that the first couple at bats, he's going after the first pitch every time. And you need a guy that's going to be patient, that's going to be, you know, even keeled, that's going to be a guy that's a true stick. Now, Pena could end up being that guy as the playoffs go on, but for that game one, you look at it and say that's one of the little things you could nitpick. But overall, like, I'm with you. Give Dusty the flowers. Yep. Give him. He pushed all the right buttons. He got all the right results, and kudos to him.
Also, I think Yuli Gurriel's success, look, you have to give all that credit to Yuli Gurriel, but Dusty Baker might have been the only guy in Houston, and maybe a couple of diehard fans, that wanted Yuli to get every day at bats, that he was going to ride Yuli, that he trusted Yuli. So Yuli goes into that game yesterday knowing that his spot in the lineup is a fixture. Like, it's something that's going – you're going to see your name in the lineup when you get to the ballpark. And I think Yuli knowing that gives him that relaxation, being able to get locked in, as opposed to, you know, I don't even know if I'm going to play.
Dusty's the king of the Yuli fan club,
yeah.
And it paid off yesterday.
It did, absolutely.
For as much as he's been scrutinized, and for as many people has said the time is now, different times in the season, that you've got to go away from Yuli at first base, the steadfast guy in his corner at all times got it all to pay off yesterday, mm-hmm. by Dusty Baker saying he's my dude, and look at him now.
The bullpen usage, I thought, for the most part, was really good. Brian Abreu for an inning and two-thirds, doesn't give up a run. Javier, inning and a third, gave up the home run. Then Hunter Brown for an inning, then Rafael Montero for an inning. I thought he used those guys nicely, especially considering that you were down. The one nitpick that I would have, I didn't love the usage of Javier there. Like, we've been saying going into the playoffs.
It makes sense now, though, if he's going to go Verlander in game four.
I still don't think it does.
Because, like, you can bring him back.
I understand that, but to me, going into the playoffs, it was always get to the sixth inning, and then you have your four horses that you've relied on all year long with Stanek, Neris, Montero, Presley. I wanted, like, everything that a starting pitcher needs to do, or a bullpen needs to do, if you're a bridge guy like Brian Abreu, get it to the six for the guys that you've counted on all year. Stanek, Neris, Montero, Presley. To me, I go Stanek instead of Javier there, but it worked out. And look, Dusty Baker did a great job yesterday, managed his tail-off, I think.
You got two guys for the eighth and the ninth that are still there. You have three of the four, I think, that are still available. And
what
fresh
do you mean?
You got Presley.
But I'm not worried about...
You got Stanek.
I'm not worried about...
You know, if Fromber's anything like himself, he's going to give you at least six.
I'm not worried about using those guys yesterday, though, and having them rested for tomorrow. You have a day off today. Like, they're 100% again tomorrow.
Right. So, I'm saying that's why, from a Javier perspective, even he, who didn't go all that long... If Dusty knows in the back of his mind, I'm going Verlander in game four.
Sure.
That's my thought process. Then I'm not using Javier as a starter. So now, if I'm just going to use him for an inning here today, he'll be ready to go, and I'm just going to use him like he had been used periodically throughout the season again. If he's going to be my high-leverage guy.
But do you want him to be a higher-leverage guy than Stanek, Montero, Neris, and Presley?
Well, I think a lot depends on situations, and a lot depends on usage. And I think that, you know, using Montero yesterday, if you needed someone that, you know, you could have him bounce back if you feel comfortable with that. If he struggles on the second day or isn't, we've seen times where he hasn't had his best stuff on the second day, well, Javier can come back and be that guy for you too. You just got another high leverage arm for the back
right,
of your bullpen.
But in that spot, why are you going Javier instead of Stanek?
I mean, you know, Papa plays gut feeling.
Well, that's why it's my nitpick. I'm going with the guys that I've been in those roles all year long. But, hey, look, it worked out. The Astros got the win. Dusty Baker, I think, did a great job managing that game yesterday. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Let's go back out to the HRMP listener line. Chris, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Chris?
Yeah, good afternoon, J&J. Yeah, that was a great game. Looking forward to meeting you guys for the first time tomorrow at the Pro Bar. Get the day drinking going. Hey, Joe, I gave the fans credit this morning for sticking around to the ninth inning, but I was at the buzzer game. I was at game six, and I'll see if they hit the walk-off. Maybe it's so different, Joe, because it's the sixth game and not the first game, but we were standing the whole game. We were standing the whole game. I felt like there was no energy in the stadium yesterday. Verlander was looking around saying, come on, guys, you know, boost us up a little bit. But that's just my take on it. So if I get a chance to go, I'm going to be standing in the first inning and maybe piss some people off.
Thanks, Chris. Look, I think that we've been here long enough, and some of you guys have been here your whole life, but I've been here long enough to realize Houston's just different that way. They're not going to do what a lot of people think you have to do. Like, they're not going to get fired up until there's something to get fired up for. Now, to start a game, sure. Everybody's on their feet to start a game. But if you get, you know, kicked in the nuts right from the first inning, it takes the wind out of you. And you sit down for a little bit and you go, what's happening here? This isn't the team that, you know, had the best record in the American League. And then as it continues to get worse for a good period of time, it's hard to say, well, with one at bat, I'm going to stand up and lose my mind. When you know that with the ebb and flow of emotions, it doesn't work that way. And in Houston, it's just not as easy for the fans to do that as it is, say, when you're like a one-trick pony with you're the only game in town and fans live and die on every single moment.
Can I give another reason? It's a little understandable if people weren't fully locked in the whole time. Every time that you fought back to cut the lead, the Mariners answered. Until the end of the game, you cut it to 2, they answered.
Yeah.
You cut it to 3, they answered. Like, every time the Astros scored, it's not like they were building momentum through the course of the game. The Mariners kept shutting you down until the 8th inning.
I don't think there's a ballpark in the league that you're down 4 runs in the first inning that's locked in on their feet going nuts.
Well, I think if, like, after Yordan cuts to 2 initially, if the Astros, you know, they're the next one to score, now you're only down 1. Things are different. I think when you are repeatedly stopped from making comeback attempts, it's really hard to keep that energy.
Yeah, Mariners punch back. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. We mentioned Verlander. Should Dusty have pulled Verlander earlier? We gave you our thoughts on that. But what is the concern level with Verlander for the rest of the postseason? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, guys, are you doing some home renovations? Maybe cleaning out the attic in the garage? Or maybe, just maybe you're doing some remodeling around the house? Well, you've thought about everything. You've gotten the right contractor. You know the people you're going to go to get through whatever you got going on. But maybe you didn't take into consideration the cleanup process. And that's where I bring to your attention Vivia. Because Vivia is the company that can take care of all the little things you forgot about, like the cleanup and the pickup. And they do it all same day. They have 10-yard and 15-yard roll-off dumpsters. They are good-looking. They fit comfortably in your driveway. Your HOA is not going to be ticked off at you. And they can drop it off and take it away on the very same day in Houston and surrounding areas. They're trusted, they're convenient, and they're right for you. Project managers, you too. You've got a big project going on or a medium-sized project. You didn't think about the cleanup process. They'll think about it for you and take care of all those details. Because Texas Custom Patios and other businesses around town are smart enough to trust Vivia with the waste needs for their projects too. We use them at the ESPN Golf Tournament and otherwise. Rashad and his team always do a fantastic job. If you need anything in terms of takeaway and cleanup and dumpster availability, you go Vivia.com. That's GOVAVIA.com. GoVivia.com.
Now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
A little bit of everything. They had a good approach. You know, there's familiarity here. You know, obviously, you need to make some better pitches, but also got to tip your cap, and they hit some good pitches. And that's the beauty of playoff baseball. You know, we're a team. We're here to win, and we won. So, obviously, I have to do better next time out. But here we are with a game one win, and I couldn't be more happy.
All right, let's have a very real and hard conversation about Justin Verlander's outing yesterday. Hey, look, it's better in hindsight, better that you win, right? But do not ignore in victory what you wouldn't in defeat.
This would have been a much bigger topic if they lost.
Oh, absolutely. And that's why we can't ignore it. We got to be honest and transparent about this whole thing. Verlander gives up 6 runs, 10 hits, 4 innings yesterday. Throws the 81 pitches? Yeah, 81 pitches. Verlander in his last 6 starts in the playoffs is 0-4 with a 6.40 ERA and has given up 9 homers in 32 innings. The last time he has had a good start in the postseason was October 4th, 2019. Over 3 years ago. It was against Tampa. Oh. 7 shutout innings against the Rays over 3 years ago. Justin Verlander, whenever he is pitching the rest of the way in the postseason, how are you feeling about it?
I still feel very good. I mean, there's a reason this guy's going to go down as one of the all-time greats in the history of the game. I just believe you got to believe in your guy. And I think that when you think about what he's able to do and impactfully what he did coming off of Tommy John the entire season for you, you just kind of write this one off as a victim of circumstance. You know, as much as it was good for a lot of the guys to get rest and get healthy, from a pitching perspective, it's sometimes the worst thing that can happen to you because you think about how many innings he threw with no hits and scoreless innings, but yet they were shorter stints, and you're like, you know what? the injury, the timing was bad. Coming off the injury, they were going to be hypersensitive to him to make sure he was ready for this, but then five more days off, and he just wasn't his normal self. We said it. The one thing that you can say, which is why you feel better going into his next start, is it wasn't about, like, velocity down. It wasn't, like, a lack of overall of control of his off-speed pitches. It was the fact that he just, from a standpoint of the zone, was missing in a lot of areas where he normally doesn't miss. I think the one thing that was a little bit perplexing to me was, and that the broadcasters really mentioned it as well, was if you blow two fastballs by someone, especially a guy like Julio Rodriguez,
yeah,
you shouldn't see a third fastball the rest of the at-bat.
I hated that pitch.
Yeah, that bothered me immensely.
And he's a guy that doesn't hit sliders very good. Like, that right. was a slider spot off no the question. Plate. Yeah, that was, I mean, Verlander didn't have a good game. There's no denying that. I thought his command was lousy. Whether his command
was the that's what I was getting alluding to. The command was the biggest issue.
And even, I mean, most of it was in
that's
the zone.
That's normally with Russ.
He only had one walk, but he was leaving pitches down the middle of the plate where he's mm-hmm. normally dotting the corners. To command, to me, was the biggest issue. There's been some people wondering, was he tipping? That's part of pitching. Like, if you can't figure out that you're tipping but somebody else can, that's on you. Mm-hmm. Maybe you can figure it out in hindsight. I just don't think Verlander had his best command in that game yesterday. I'm with you. Like, I still feel pretty good about Justin Verlander the rest of the way. He's still Justin Verlander. We just rattled off the numbers in his last six starts. They're lousy. 6.40 ERA in his last six starts. I think Verlander's going to be fine the rest of the way in every single one of his starts.
I do, too. I think because it was a command issue, I think it's more where you write it off to rust than you do anything else. I think for those cynics, the same way that I said the slate is cleared and a guy like Yuli starting from day one in the playoffs feels like I got a new lease on life and I can show you that I can still do everything that I used to do. From a Verlander perspective, don't think he doesn't know what his playoff stats are too. Don't think that this was a little bit in the back of his mind, whether you know it played into it or not. I don't think it'll have a carryover for his next start. But players are creatures of habit and they're also always focused on what the talk and the undercurrent is. There's always going to be an undercurrent with Justin until he changes the narrative that in the playoffs, he's not quite the same guy. And I'm sure that in the back of his mind, it was sitting there.
Yeah, King of Twitch is saying, trying to force the fastball. He's got a killer slider, killer curve. You try to use his fastball
too much.
That's
what I was talking about with J-Rod.
I think that's a good point, too. Yeah, I mean, he did use it, J-Rod, trying to sneak it by him again, which I didn't think was a great idea. 713-780-ESPN. Justin Verlander the rest of the postseason. What's your concern level? 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRP listener line. Thomas, you're in the high with the Killer Bees. What's up, Thomas?
Hey guys, big fans of the show. I think a few weeks ago I called in the Paul Gallant show, gave him the stats on JV. You know, I was kind of expecting a rocky start with all the rest, but hey, total spin zone, and I like to be a realist about my team, but total spin zone is, look, now he knows that his team has his back. So he can go throw another, you know, crappy ball game, and he knows his team is back. So, you know, that's the worst-case scenario. Best case, he gets back to Cy Young. But I know I just have to be an average pitcher, get some outs, you know, minimize those errors, and then you got to give him props. So let's go. I'm not too worried about it. I'll hang up and listen.
Appreciate the call, Thomas. Look, I think it's if you look at the numbers, you wouldn't have confidence in Verlander.
Right.
Based on his last few postseason mm-hmm. starts, last half a dozen. But because it's Justin Verlander, I think you have the confidence that he's going to figure it out. Like, he might not be pitching to a 7 shutout inning, striking out 8. He might not be pitching to his Cy Young performance of the regular season. But you still have confidence. At least I have confidence. Maybe not you. But I still have confidence that Verlander is going to figure it out in his next start.
No, I do too. And I think that, look, if this was a guy that had a track record of being hot and cold, of, you know, doing the kind of things that we were saying for several years about a Framber Valdez, where he can be lights out or he can be light in the fire, and he can be his own worst enemy with control and walks and other, like, issues where he tries to throw instead of pitch, then that would be a conversation that we could easily have. But I think because it is Justin Verlander, because he's done this for his entire career, and the level of success is going to be one of the all-time greats. He got you here, people. That's why you ride that train. Until he runs out of gas or derails the entire process, you ride with him because of the fact that he is going to win the Cy Young in the American League. He is the guy that has been your horse all season long to set the tone and to make sure that when you went into any kind of environment, hostile or not, big game or not, if you had Verlander on the hill, you felt pretty good. I can tell you right now, the guys in the locker room aren't looking at what he's done in his playoff stats over his last six starts. They know if they had to pick one guy to have the ball when something was on the line, they'd go to JV.
We had a caller earlier mention everything went right for the Mariners and they couldn't win that game.
Yeah.
I wouldn't, sir, obviously wouldn't say everything went wrong for the Astros. They won the game. That's not possible. But to get as many runs given up by Verlander, how many innings did he end up going yesterday?
Four.
Six runs over four innings. If I told you that's what happened, how would you have felt about that game?
Oh, they lose.
No doubt. Confident. You're confident they lose.
There's no way they survive that.
So on the flip side, you almost like it. It's so easy to write off what happened with Justin Verlander because it didn't matter. He went out there and did the worst you're probably ever going to get for him.
It took a miracle for it to not matter, though.
Sure.
You could have been in it because Logan Gilbert in his first start as a guy that's never been there before could have crapped the bed. But most times, yes, you're right. But I heard those stats and go, they're going to lose.
What I'm saying is, even if Verlander struggles the rest of the postseason, he's probably not going to struggle that much very many times.
Well, and you look at it,
that's well above a 6 ERA.
It was the most earned runs he's given in a playoff appearance. He's done it twice. The only other time he did it was his first ever playoff appearance back in Detroit.
It's also the only team that has seen him that much. Right? Seattle has seen him over and over and over again.
Astros have seen Gilbert, though.
I get it. But what I'm saying is, from the standpoint, we're not analyzing Gilbert right now. We're analyzing JV.
But it plays for both of them.
I get it, but I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about the fact that people are questioning whether he's your guy going out for his next start and if he's going to be this way throughout the playoffs. I think the Yankees, and I think he only threw once against the Yankees, and he threw well. But I think that as you go down the line with the National League teams, too, I think that there's not the same familiarity. And with the guy like Verlander, if you've seen him as much as the Mariners have, and they know and they've seen him when he's been really, really good, they also know when he doesn't have his best stuff. And that can set something off in their heads, too. And that can trigger something and give them the confidence, too, to know, hey, when he's not throwing his game, he has a tendency to get up in the zone. He has a tendency to not do the same things with his slider. Hey, that's advantage to the Mariners, and they could capitalize.
I'll hear you on that. But if he has his good stuff and good command, they don't hit him, even though they've seen him 100
times. I agree with
that.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. That's all, I mean, like I said, he was a victim of circumstance with the schedule and the injury and the fact that he wasn't throwing 100 pitches and going out doing the things he had done all season long.
5806 brings up, I think, a good point, and it's a counter opinion. These same words were spoken when he was 0-1, then he was 0-2, then 0-3, talking about these last six starts. These exact same words were being spoken about him, and now it's up to six games. I would say, though, those six games, like, he wasn't bad in all six of those games. Like, he wasn't Justin Verlander. He wasn't great. But if you look at his last six starts in the playoffs, like, yesterday was awful. He gave up six earned runs, which matches the most earned runs he's given up in a playoff start, just mentioned it, since 2006, his first ever playoff appearance against Detroit. But his previous five starts, three runs, five innings, not great, but it's not awful. At least his team's in the game. Four runs, six innings, not great, but not awful. His team's in the game. Four runs, seven innings, not great, not awful. His team's in the game. Two runs over 6 2/3, not great, not awful. His team's in the game. Now, his last start against Tampa that started this six-game stretch, four runs over 3 2/3. So, like, the start and the end have been awful. The middle four, okay.
But again, you're not going to take the guy that's basically played a big role in being responsible in getting you where you are today and what he's done since he came to Houston.
But you could feel shaky when he's pitching again.
Right, but I'm saying some of these people are basically saying, like, you know what, he's garbage in the playoffs, and why would you go back to him and start hyper-questioning him? I mean, that's asinine.
Like, I can understand if you don't feel confident with
him
starting
concern,
a game.
Fine.
But the fact that you're not going to ride your Cy Young is silly.
Yeah,
like, that doesn't exist.
That's where I'm coming from. Like, this is Justin Verlander. This isn't some guy that's in the first couple years of his career that's been hot and cold or has a tendency to fall off the planet every now and then. This is a guy that's been there, done that, and he's done a whole hell of a lot for you. And you're not just going to take the ball out of his hands because of this. Because is there anybody better? Like I said, I'll go back to it again. I firmly believe you took a poll of everybody in that locker room and said, if we had one game to win, who do you want with the baseball? Justin Verlander's getting the ball.
I would agree. 713-780-ESPN. Verlander on the mound again in the postseason. What are you feeling, and how should they handle Verlander the rest of the way? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
All teams covered, no talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What is the concern level for Verlander? How do you deploy him for the rest of the postseason? 1566 says, Nate says, if we hadn't won, I think the answers on Verlander would be much different. I don't think I'd be answering it any differently. Like, I'm still going to go Verlander when Verlander's available. Like, if it's game four, full rest, okay. If it's game five, an extra day of rest, okay. I'm still going with Verlander because he's still Justin Verlander.
That's the thing. That's why I'm saying people don't overthink it. I get it. We get so caught up in statistics. And it's so easy in a town like this to look at playoff success versus regular season success. And you start with the beard and you start thinking to yourself, you know what? There's a guy that, as good as he was in the regular season, always seemed to come up short and crap the bed when it meant the most. You can start doing that with Verlander too. But just like with Harden, no one was going to sit him down. No one was going to tell him he can't play. And you're not going to do that with Justin Verlander either. He's the best pitcher on your staff for a reason. You brought him back and paid all that money for a reason. There's a whole lot of concern in this city that he won't resign or that he's going to be too high of a price tag for a reason. He's your best pitcher. He's going to win the Cy Young at 39, coming off of Tommy John. You give him the damn baseball, you shut your mouth, and you take your chances with your best opportunity to win. Period.
It is kind of funny, though, how, like, we knew that Verlander in his previous five playoff appearances has been shaky, right? Mm-hmm. Yesterday was his sixth, but we knew prior to yesterday's game that his last five playoff outings have been shaky. So you know all regular season, when he's putting together a Cy Young regular season, that he's been shaky in the postseason and, quite frankly, has not pitched in the last two. Right. Was not available last year, was not available 2 years ago. So whenever I, 3 weeks ago, said I wouldn't pay Justin Verlander, I got ridiculed. I got crushed. How are you not paying Justin Verlander? Now, all of a sudden, because of one bad playoff outing, I think that that script has flipped. I think that script has flipped.
It might have.
So it's like, but why are we being a prisoner of the moment in one game?
Here's the thing that also you're not you personally, but the people out there that are going to hyper-scrutinize this. Factor in the injury that I keep bringing up. The fact that when the injury happened, the time off, then since that, because you were so far in front with the division and you had already been, you were on the verge of wrapping up best record in the American League with nothing to play for, he had a no-hitter going through five and a no-hitter going through six, and he got shut down both times. He wasn't able to get stretched out fully and get the kind of pitches and the workload that he had been going through when he was really clicking for most of the season when he put up the Cy Young numbers. Now, coming off of that, you get 5 days off where you're trying everything in your power, as he mentioned, to simulate trying to keep guys ready and fresh. But you know it's hard to
do. Well, for Verlander, I don't know if that factors in as much. Like, I don't know if I can use that as an excuse. Because Verlander pitched on, the second to final day of the regular season?
Yeah, but he only pitched, again, a shorter stint.
That was on the 4th, so 11th. So, I mean, it's a little bit longer than normal, but it's not crazy.
But he still mentioned the fact, and we know that it's not, you can throw the pitch, but it's not with the same stress levels as the high leverage situations when we talk about when he really wants to empty the tank or when he knows he's got, you know, first and third, nobody out, and he needs strikeouts and he needs to ramp it up. He's capable of doing that. When he's just throwing a session and trying to get his pitches in, he's not doing this. He's not facing that kind of leverage.
I doubt he threw a live, though. Like, if you're pitching on the 4th and then pitching again on the
11th. That's even worse.
I don't think you're... you're pitching every 5th day. This was every 7th day.
But I'm saying, Jeremy, from a sharpness standpoint, from a command standpoint, it's not like he had the ideal scenario leading up to this start yesterday.
I wouldn't say ideal, no. But I think it's more of, I think that the rest, I think it impacts the offense more than it impacted Verlander.
But I think most pitchers with the rest have rust in terms of their location. And so I think a lot of his problems yesterday were location. Now, as we get back to that Rodriguez at bat, what I would question is, I think he's one of the best at thinking through pitch by pitch every at bat to every player, and I don't think he really thought that one through after getting two fastballs by him to throw him a third fastball when you know that in the back of Rodriguez's mind, he's sitting there going, I'm sitting on this thing, I'm waiting for it this time, I'm going to really stay back on it. You get him that slider or even the curveball, I don't think he does anything with it, even if he puts bat to it. So I think that's one where you can question just what, you know, the thought process of it. But overall, because it was a command issue, that's why I think that also factors in.
713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Alex, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's going on, Alex?
What's going on, Killer Bees?
What's up, man?
Yeah, man, real quick, I just wanted to tell you guys, I feel like Justin Verlander is one of the best, I would say, in history as far as pitching. But you just got to factor the fact that he's coming back from surgery, you know, at time, like you said, and as well as the season, the workload. I just, like, he's not 100%, and it showed yesterday. I mean, you know when somebody's 100%,
and I feel like he's not 100%. I mean, you could look down, you know, in other sports, you can see other athletes that are coming back from injury. They're never back 100% the following season. But I feel like he won't be.
All right, I think we're making excuses for Verlander now. Like, Alex, sorry to interrupt you, but like, look, I'm still confident handing the baseball to Justin Verlander if it's game four. I still think Justin Verlander is Justin Verlander. But he just won a Cy Young coming off surgery with a 1.75 ERA. Like the little Achilles strain. He pitched four games. He went five innings, no hits, no runs. Six innings, two runs. Seven innings, one earned run. Five no-hit innings. I feel like we're making excuses now for Verlander. Like, Verlander's still Justin Verlander. I'm still going with Justin Verlander in game four. But coming off Tommy John, he just won a Cy Young. Coming off the Achilles, he was great for four starts. I just think he was lousy for one game.
It happens.
I mean, I can't use the Tommy John excuse when the dude's going to win the Cy Young.
We'll see, man. He's human. He's a human being. And, you go through an injury, you're not going to be 100% the following season. So we'll see.
Look, I agree with you, Alex.
You can say that for most people, but he's also different. He's not just human, but he's also a little bit, we've said he's a freak of nature in a lot of ways. The way he gets stronger later in games, the way coming off of Tommy John surgery, you're not supposed to be the dominating pitcher right away after a year like he has been. So he's a freak of nature. He's a human being. We said that he stumbles, everybody does, every so often. But overall, when you look at who you want to have the ball in a key game, I'm still giving it to JV. I'm not making excuses for him.
No, the human element I get. But the human element, like if I'm using that as a reason to why he failed yesterday, is because he was lousy yesterday. Not because he's coming off Tommy John and won the Cy Young. Not because of this Achilles strain where he's been good for four starts.
If it was about the Tommy John surgery, he doesn't have the year he had.
Right, exactly. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Back out to the HRMP listener line. Shane, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Shane?
Hey, what's going on?
What's up? Shane, you want
Shane,
to talk?
Let's go, bud.
Still talking about Verlander?
Yeah, what's
yeah.
up?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Verlander completely choked last night, and that's okay.
Okay, you want to
Shane, you
got to
get
that?
The pacing a little quicker, bud. We got calls waiting.
You want to go on further with that, Shane? Is that just...
Yeah, so, the dude is the best pitcher we have. You cannot completely alienate him because he had one bad game. They play a lot of baseball games. You cannot screw somebody because they had one bad game.
Appreciate the call, Shane. Thanks for listening to the Killer Bees. I think that's where we're at. I think that's where we're at. Like, he was lousy yesterday. There's no denying that he was lousy yesterday. His lousiness yesterday, does it influence how you handle him the rest of the way? I think for us, it's an absolute no. And then the second part of that question, what is your panic level the next time he's on the bump? The next time he takes the ball, what is the panic level?
I mean, look, I think the scenario will ramp it up for people. If there's a game four or a game five where it's more of a must win as opposed to starting off a series again, I think that would change people's perspectives. But overall, like, again, there's a reason why you're paying him as much money as you are. He did everything that he was supposed to do and way more this whole season. There's a reason why he gets a lot of the credit for getting you over the hump in 17. This guy has been everything that you've personally, as an organization, needed him to be. So now suddenly you want to hyper-analyze it. You want to say, I don't think he should get the ball. You're going to make all these comparisons and start talking about, you know, guys that can't get it done in the playoffs. And someone texted in Kershaw, 13-12 playoff resume. There's plenty of teams that are knocking at the door and saying, I'll take Kershaw's entire career and take my chances. They'll do the same thing with Justin Verlander. The fact that if you got to go that deep into it and think you're going to question JV and getting the ball in this playoff run with what he just did for you in the regular season, that's on you, not him.
See, this is kind of where I'm at with this. 8029, guys, y'all always say that what you have done for me lately, his postseason record speaks for itself. It's not good. Okay, but we're also looking at five of those six starts. Like, the six starts have been bad. 0-4, 640 ERA.
Five of them are, like, way back in the past.
They're 19 and earlier.
He just won you the damn Cy Young.
He's had one playoff start in the last 3 years. So, like, how much are you letting that influence your decision? Secondly, okay, he was crap yesterday. Understand. what is your plan then? Like, you can just sit here and say, well, you guys are, you know, praising Verlander. You got to do something else with Verlander. What are you doing with Justin Verlander? You can text in and say that he stunk, that he was lousy. You can criticize that. I guess we're, like, giving him some sort of free pass, which I don't think that we are.
No.
But, if, like, how would you change your plan for Justin Verlander? Because he was bad yesterday, and he was bad in his first, in his prior five playoff starts, which happened three or more years ago. So, like, what would your plan be? You can text in and say that he stunk. But what's your plan?
Own up to it with an answer. Because you can question everything, as we do on a daily basis. Most times we try and come up with the answer or a different way of looking at it or doing it. If you're just going to tell me, I don't want Justin Verlander getting the ball, well, then who gets it? And do you feel better about that? McCullers coming off an injury.
Knowing that you need at least three, probably four starters.
That maybe gets you through five because of the way he's been pitching lately. Well, then if you want to talk about that, I'm looking at, you're going to go back and say his last six playoff starts, then I'm going to go back and say just Lance McCullers for the last part of the season hasn't gotten you deep into a lot of ball games. Christian Javier has been bouncing back and forth. I'm telling you right now, me personally, if I have a game to win, I still have total confidence I'm giving JV the baseball and getting out of the way.
I just don't know what the alternative is.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Give it to us.
We all agree that Verlander was lousy yesterday.
Yes.
We all agree that Verlander in his last six playoff starts, five of those being 3 years or longer, has been lousy. I'm still throwing Justin Verlander. If you're going to say that he stunk, what's the plan? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, guys, I just got done telling you about Vivia. I'm going to tell you about him again because Vivia is the only place you should go if you are looking to get some garbage and trash and cleanup done in your yard, on your property, or on a project. If you're a project manager, a business manager, and you're looking to do some expansion or you're doing it for somebody else and you haven't really thought through how you're going to do the cleanup, you should get in contact with Vivia because Vivia has 10 and 15 yard roll-off dumpsters. They look good aesthetically on the outside for your driveway or the parking lot or wherever you're doing the work. And the best part about it is they're going to take it away the same day. You can schedule it to be delivered and picked up on the same day, and it makes everything go more efficiently. The pickup, the cleanup, it's all part of the deal. Same thing if you're doing some home renovations, cleaning out the garage and the attic, trying to do some things where you're going to absolutely make some improvements to the house. Maybe you're redoing the kitchen, but you didn't think about how you're going to get rid of all the trash. That's where Vivia comes in. Check them out right now. GoVivia.com. It's GoVivia.com. You're going to find out why they're the people that we tell you to go to when you're looking to do some cleanup and take some trash away. They take care of us at the ESPN Golf Tournament. Companies like Texas Custom Patios, who you hear advertised here on the station, they go to Vivia with their waste needs for their projects. That's another sign you need to go to them too. It doesn't happen all the time, but when it does, you need cleanup and takeaway as quick as possible. That's why you GoVivia.com.
Going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780.